All right, let's turn into our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Today we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 19 and part 2 of our Grace to Give, Grace to Live. And we're really going to be emphasizing the second part of this message or this title as far as Grace to Live. We've been really looking at the last couple of weeks of just understanding biblically what giving is all about, going much beyond just thinking about monetary gifts to the church or something like that, but really just giving of yourselves. And we'll see more of that in a sense today, but really looking at the life that we kind of lead and an example of Paul. We are coming down to the very end of this book. I mean, next week, Lord willing, we will finish up with the book of Philippians. We'll have some other messages, to end up our year that still focus on our overall theme, our vision, as far as our vision to grow. And we've been coming through Philippians, and each chapter I have it as a focus point as far as what kind of vision we need to have. In chapter 1, we looked at having a vision to serve. In chapter 2, we looked at having a vision for others. In chapter 3, we had a vision to lead. And now in chapter 4, I have a vision of accountability, understanding that the Lord is coming back. You might remember just even in looking at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, if you actually look back at that here real quick, we'll see how that we need to let, as it says, our moderation be known unto all because the Lord is at hand. I read exactly what it says. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And we talk about the Lord coming back, that's when he also will be at the judgment seat of Christ, where we're judged, not for our sin, but for our service. What did we do as Christians? How have we fulfilled the works that God has laid out for us? And really, we're going to see again another aspect of that today as we see, as you look down, I want to read verse 17 and 18 and 19 as far as our text today, but it says this, starting in verse 17, it says, "Not because I desire gifts, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Well, what's he talking about? He's not talking about Commerce Bank account or any other bank that we're talking about physically here on earth. He's talking about dealing with what we're going to be given accountable for, or being accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul was concerned to make sure that they will have something to show for their Christian walk when it comes to that time of accountability, standing before the Lord. And we need to have that same mindset. He goes on in verse 18 and says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So today we're going to be looking at three points. We're going to be looking at Paul's stance in verse 17. We're going to look at Epaphroditus' sacrifice in verse 18. And then finally in verse 19, we'll be looking at God's supply. Now let me just say this before we have a word of prayer and get started on what we need to see here. As we've been kind of commenting through really throughout the year, ever since especially in March, with everything that's going on with COVID and everything that's going on, we just had our elections and everything's not finalized there yet. There's been a lot of craziness that's been going on in the world and in our country, all right? And just because it's getting ready to be 2021 doesn't mean that automatically, just because the calendar year turns over, that everything is just going to automatically be fine, hunky-dory, and no problems, all right? We're living in a time that it is right before the Lord's going to be coming back. You know, and I don't know when. I mean, I'm not saying I know the day and hour. Nobody's going to know the day and hour. It could be next year. It could be next month. It could be next week. It'd be great if it'd be next week. But I don't know. It could be 10 years from now. The point is, we do not have that long left before the Lord comes back. And unfortunately, the spiritual climate that we live in is not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. I mean, the Bible tells us that. But no matter what the circumstances, no matter what we go through, still, what we're seeing here today and what we see in the Word of God is true, all right? There's no different clause that says, hey, the Word of God is true except for COVID or except for, you know, elections in the United States or whatever kind of hard times we go through. The Word of God is still the Word of God. And there's one thing that we need to understand today, especially as we're going to get to verse 19, that God will give us the necessary supply to be able to deal with whatever may happen in our life, whatever comes our way, that we have the grace to be able to live through it and to be able to grow through it. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started in what we need to see today. Father in heaven, speak to us. I really don't have that much more to pray. We need to hear from you. We need your word. And Lord, I pray that we would have open hearts and minds to receive it, that we're able to live the truth of your word. Lord, help us to get any kind of preconceived ideas or whatever, or just whatever may be going on outside of church, or what, you know, things that we got to deal with later today, later this week, whatever. Let's just help us forget about that and help us focus in and concentrate on your word. We need to hear it today, Lord, and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at this thing. I actually want to read from verse 14 into 17, since it's a continuing context of what we saw last week. Starting in verse 14, Paul says, "Notwithstanding, ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. It says, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." And of course we talked about and defined last week what that word communicate means. Just as you see it even here in this context, it's also used in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the idea of being able to give, to be able to distribute. All right, as Christians, because of everything that Christ has done for us, we should be ready and willing to give to others, again, as we have opportunity. God never asks us to do something that we're not able to be able to do, or He doesn't actually really supply us to be able to do, to be able to give. And so Paul is thankful for that, but notice again in verse 17 in our text today, Paul's stance. It says this, "Not because I desire a gift." Right? He's not desiring a gift. He's not just desiring for them to give unto him. That's not Paul's stance, and we'll review this in a second. It says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." In other words, the Philippians giving to Paul and helping Paul out in the ministry was going to be something that is going to be an account for them, a gift or account for them, as a justice to Christ. Now remember, Paul's stance was that he was not needing to have something. Matter of fact, you go back to chapter 4, just in verse 11 and verse 12, it says this. Philippians 4, verse 11, Paul says this, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So that's Paul's stance. It's not like he's begging for money or that he needs something to keep the ministry going. No, he's trusting God and all that. I mean, he has learned. It's something that is, as we talked about then, it is something that needs to be learned. There's instruction that we need to go through because we are not naturally just content and satisfied. It's something that we need to learn to do, and Paul learned that. So it's not like he's there begging for a gift or anything like that. But what you see here, again, as you go back to verse 17, he is more focused on the furtherance of the Philippians. Again, verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." I gave the example, I think, a week or two ago, when Trish and I and my family, I mean, we were in Canada. We were in Canada for 7.5 years, from 1994 to 2002. And while we were there, people from our home church, I mean, they supported us in ministry for us to be able to minister the gospel in the country of Canada. And that is fruit that will abound to their account. Them helping us in the physical aspect of being able to live in Canada will reap for them at the judgment seat of Christ the spiritual things and things that we're able to accomplish in Canada. All right, that's the same thing that Paul is talking here in dealing with the Philippians. And really, that's how all of us should live our lives and how we can help our brother and sister to be able to abound and have fruit at the judgment seat of Christ. That when they check their accounts at the judgment seat, that they have something there because we've helped them along in doing that. I want you to notice what Paul says before we move on here. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, as you make your way there, I just want to give you a little bit of the context. Remember, this church is really considered a carnal church. They were many different schisms or divisions that were going on. And chapter after chapter, Paul is dealing with some issue, some problem that the Corinthians were having. But I want you to notice what he says to the Corinthians, because Paul was not about seeking profit from them, or again, any kind of gain from them, but he's really seeking for them to grow, for them to have wealth. And he literally says this in chapter 10 down in verse 24. So 1 Corinthians 10 verse 24 says this, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." All right? Let's seek not just your own, and being concerned about you, your needs, but how we can help somebody else out, seek another person's wealth. Again, we're not just talking about how can I make somebody financially wealthy here on earth. It's a matter of, spiritually speaking, for eternity, how can I help somebody else be wealthy, in a sense, at the judgment seat of Christ, in the spiritual things, in our walk and our relationship with the Lord. As God gives us grace to be able to live, help us to be able to help somebody else out in that journey. You see, Christianity is not a competition. All right? We're not in a competition with each other and you know, looking at, no, this is how many people I led to the Lord. This is how many people I discipled. Look at me and look at what I've done. It's not about that. It's about helping somebody else out. Even in karate, just thinking about this. You guys know that I do karate, teach karate, I've been doing it for a number of years. The whole idea about karate is helping somebody else out. When you're in the dojo and you're training, it's not just training for you to get better. You're training and being your best to be able to help your fellow person, your fellow student or co-student, whatever, to be able to grow in karate, to be able to help them out. I want to be my best to be able to help you be better. Right? Well, that's no different than what Christianity should be. That we are growing in our walk and relationship with the Lord so that we can help somebody else out. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Again, I'll read from verse 17 on into verse 18. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. We have a lot to cover in this verse. But first of all, just kind of give you a review again. I mean, Paul says, I have all and I abound. All right? You go back to verse 10 of the same chapter. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, he says this, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So again, he's thankful for the things that he was able to receive from the Philippians, and specifically Epaphroditus. This guy is absolutely incredible. Let's review what Epaphroditus and what he's all about. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Now remember, in Philippians chapter 2, this is our vision for others. You know, and we see examples of where we saw, what for first and foremost, the Lord Jesus Christ. How he died on the cross for us. I mean, it was all about us, all right? Not about him. He didn't have to. He was God, but he became man to be able to die on the cross for us so that we're able to be saved. We saw the example of Timothy. We see the example of the Apostle Paul. And then we end chapter 2 by seeing the example of Epaphroditus and really how he was given his life and sacrifice to be able to help Paul out. Philippians chapter 2, I want you to pick it up in verse 25. It says this, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Before I go on, again, obviously I preach to this, but he's feeling bad because the Philippians heard that he was sick. I mean, it's one of those things, it's like even in that, he is not thinking about himself. He's upset that he's made other people upset because they heard that he was sick. I mean, Epaphroditus is not one of these guys that's sick in bed and saying, woe is me, where's, come on people, I need sympathy. He is feeling bad that they are feeling bad because he is sick. That's the kind of focus that Epaphroditus had in being able to help others out. He was not concerned about his life, he was concerned about the life and the walk of others. Now let's finish this out, let's look at this again. All right, in verse 28, Philippians 2, it says, and I sent him therefore the more carefully that, when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such a reputation. Because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And again, that's not Paul slamming the Philippians because he wasn't getting enough from them. Remember, the Philippians did not have the opportunity, and where the Philippians of the church did not have the opportunity to help Paul out at the specific time, Epaphroditus did. And Epaphroditus put his life on the line for the work of the ministry, to be able to help Paul out, to, again, for the furtherance of the ministry, not regarding his life. Well, who did he learn that from? From Jesus Christ. And it's the same kind of grace to live, sacrifice, that we need to be able to have as Christians to be able to do as well. That we're not so focused on us. Alright? That's the thing. It's like we have a pandemic happening and things like that, and a lot of times we just think about, well, okay, I need to get this, I need to get that, I need to make sure I have everything, and we have disregard for our neighbor, for somebody else. I'm not saying that you don't take care of your own family, your own needs, but it's like we need to look without ourselves, you know? We need to be able to see how others are doing and be able to help them out, especially as Christians and helping our brothers and sisters in Christ out. Epaphroditus is like, man, almost like one of a kind. I mean, there's not much mention about Epaphroditus in the Bible. We're seeing it right now. Philippians chapter 2, and then Philippians chapter 4. Living a life that is a sacrifice. Now, I want you to go back to Philippians 4 and verse 18 again before we continue on this theme of living a life that's one of a sacrifice and being able to help others out. In verse 18 again, it says this, "But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Now, what is Paul talking about here? This goes back to dealing with the Old Testament sacrifice. A sacrifice that was supposed to be, as it says there, an odor of a sweet smell. Now, I want you to go back to the book of Leviticus. That's your third book in the Bible. You have Genesis, Exodus, then Leviticus. We're going to look at Leviticus chapter 1. That's that book in the Bible that probably most people probably stay away from. There's a lot of things that are, again, Levitical law, things that the priesthood and the tribe of Levi had to do in service for the Lord and dealing with the tabernacle and the sacrifices and all that. And it's like, oh, what am I going to get out of this book? There's a lot in the book of Leviticus. I mean, it's a great book to be able to study through. Maybe take this winter time and maybe you're inside, don't have a lot to do. Spend some time in Leviticus and studying it out. There's a lot to be able to learn. The first number of chapters deal with different sacrifices that, again, the Levites or the priests or the tribe or the nation of Israel were responsible in doing. And the first one that talks about is that which is a burnt offering. It's an offering that signifies wholly giving yourself to God, not leaving anything out, anything undone. Now, I just want you to pick it up in, actually, we'll pick it up in verse 8. So Leviticus chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 8, read down through verse 9. It says this, "And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar." And it's specifically talking about a bullock or a bull that's being sacrificed. In verse 9 it says, "But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." Something that smells good. I can't help to, when I read a passage like this, I think of somebody grilling some steak on a grill. It's like, what that must have, I mean, it's, you know, that's a nice aroma, you know. It's like, you can be totally full, but you smell something like that, it's like, oh, I think I got some room to take a couple of bites of that. But the sacrifice, it was supposed to be well-pleasing to God, a sweet-smelling savior, something that was pleasant to the Lord. Well, that's what our life should be like, that in a living sacrifice. You see the same thing talked about in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, go to the book of Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. Now look at the first couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. As you make your way there in the book of Ephesians, you remember there's like seven different walks that are laid out in the book of Ephesians, and five of them are positive ways of how we're supposed to walk. Two of them are negative and how we're not supposed to walk. Well, this is one of the positive ones. Ephesians chapter 5, you pick it up in verse 1. It says this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Right, same thing that we talked about seeing in Philippians chapter 4, same thing that we see in Leviticus chapter 1. Jesus Christ is that sweet-smelling Savior, that sacrifice that He gave for us. And if we're going to truly walk in love, to walk in love is to walk like Christ and having a life that is a sacrifice. How can I help somebody else out? Give you one more reference in dealing with this, and that's going back to the book of Romans. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12, very familiar verse. I'm going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We talk about living a life that's a sacrifice. That doesn't mean that I got to go out and die on a cross like Jesus Christ did. But it's an example of, again, how can I help someone else out? How can I help somebody to have a gift, something that's going to abound to their account at the judgment seat of Christ? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." Notice this, "which is your reasonable service." It goes on in verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In verse 1 here, you see that it's our reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Why is it just reasonable? It's because of everything that Jesus Christ has done for us. He died on the cross. He suffered our hell. Of course, He rose again the third day. That's how we have eternal life. Because of what He has done for us, it is our reasonable service to present ourselves a living sacrifice. God, here I am. That's what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. God is not just looking for your stuff. He wants you to use you however He deems fit. And it's our reasonable service. It's unfortunate that we have Christians that have the mindset, it's like, well, if I go to church and you know, and maybe pray some, maybe every once in a while get in the Word of God, I've done my service. No. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Having a walk in a relationship with the Lord, daily in the Word of God, daily praying and being part of the believers of the local church to be able to edify and to help edify, that's something that is a reasonable service. It's not extra beyond. Well, how about like going to the mission field? Is that it? No. Anything that we do for the Lord down here is our reasonable service. A living sacrifice. That's why verse 2 is important. That's why I included it. Not being conformed to this world. Because what's this world like? It is selfish. It is all about me. How can I get ahead? How can I take advantage of somebody else to get ahead? That's what this world is like. Well, we can't be like that. We're not supposed to be like that as Christians. We need to have our mind renewed. We need to have our mind transformed. And that only happens as you spend time in the Word of God. Again, as we go back to Philippians chapter 4, our vision for Faith Bible Church in 2020 was having a vision of growth. We talked about, you know, what if to examine our lives at the beginning of the year and see some areas that we feel that we need to grow in and focus on that. Pick one and focus on that through the year. And I hope you guys have done that and doing that. And I hope even right now you can look back and see that, you know what, I have grown since January 2020. We're here in November 2020, and I can look back and I can honestly say, I have grown in this area. The Lord has brought me through some things. I hope that is the case. You don't want a whole year to go by and not have anything change or anything different in your walk with the Lord. We should be always growing. As long as we're eating God's food and drinking and His water and breathing His air, we should be growing in our relationship. You go back to Philippians chapter 4. Again from verse 18. Verse 17, when you look at Paul's stance, verse 18, Epaphroditus' sacrifice. Going into verse 19, God's supply. Again, from verse 18, it says this, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from God, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Again, see, Paul focused on the Philippians, not talking about himself and his needs being fulfilled, but the Philippians. As the Philippians have this grace to give, and they're, again, just doing what they can to give themselves to the Lord, Paul's saying is, you know what? God's going to supply all your need. Now, this is where the rubber really meets the road. How much do we really believe God and His Word? Do you really believe verse 19? "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory, by Christ Jesus." Do we really believe that God is going to supply all your need? Not some, most of it, a bit of it, all. And we're not talking about your wants, but your need. And it's interesting that in this verse, it doesn't even say all your needs, plural. Now, I know we have needs, plural. But he says he's going to supply all your needs. Think in your mind right now, what is your greatest need that you have right now? Of all the needs that you may have, what is your greatest need that you have that you really are trusting God to come through on? And do you really believe that this word, this verse, is true in your life? Do you really believe that God is the God of His Word? Now, I know He is. I know He is. What about you? Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe that God has all the riches that He needs to be able to supply your need? Do you think God's broke? Do you think God is? What are we up to in the United States now? I've lost count. What are we, $22, $23 trillion in debt? I don't know. Do you think God's in debt? Do you think God owes anybody anything? You think God is going to a bank and, can I have an extension on my loan? I got some stars that they're going out. I need to put them back on. You think God's limited in anything to be able to supply all your needs? Now, of course, we sit here and we know, oh, no, brother, I know that God's got all the riches and the glory. It says right there. But do you practically believe it on a daily basis? He's going to supply all your needs. Let's go back to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. I'm going to look down to verse 9 through 12. God does have everything we need to be able to take care of our needs. God's not lacking anything, whether it's physical needs, whether it's spiritual needs. He has it all. Psalm 50, starting in verse 9, says, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Everything in this world belongs to God. Now, I know you think that there are things that belong to you. No, it all belongs to God. Because His Word just tells us that. Everything in the world and the fullness thereof. I mean, it belongs to Him. Like every time we drive up and down the road, especially where we live, and we see cattle there, we literally see cattle on the hills and so forth. Each cow of God. It doesn't matter what brand's on there, it belongs to God. If you're hungry and God so sees that you need a hamburger today, He will give it to you somehow. Do we really believe God at His Word? That He will supply all your needs? Or is it just theory? Do you, and can you, point to a time where you know that God has fulfilled your need? You know 100% without a doubt, God provided a need for you. And you say, well, yeah. Preacher, I can point back to that, not just once, but a couple of times. My question is this, then why do we struggle at the need that we have right before us and thinking that God, I don't know if He's going to supply it or not. If God supplied our need in the past, He's going to do it again. How come we can't have that faith like David has? I mean, obviously Psalm 50 is one of those psalms. I mean, it's a psalm of Asaph, but David's written a lot of psalms, and you think about David and Goliath, that story that everybody's, aware of in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know why David had faith that God's going to take care of him in dealing with Goliath? Right? Guy's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. You know why? Because he knew that God took care of him in dealing with the lion and the bear that took a lamb out of his flock. God helped David then to take care of those things. God's going to help me take care of Goliath. There was no doubt. There was absolutely no doubt in David that God was going to take care of him and Goliath. Why? Because he had a history of faith, history of things that God has done for him in the past. What about us? What are the things that God has done for us in the past that he's fulfilled our needs? Well, if he's done that in the past, he's going to do it again. His word promises that he's going to fulfill all of our need, whether it's physical, and most importantly, spiritual. I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. I had you in Ephesians earlier. This time I want you to go to chapter 1. I know it's sometimes hard for us to believe and get our mind wrapped around this because we think, oh, I got so many physical needs. What about the spiritual? Because that is most important. I want you to notice what it says here. Ephesians chapter 1, just down in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So look at that verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, not some, but all of them, in heavenly places. And where are they? In Christ. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are in Christ, and being in Christ, God has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings. If we were to go to our spiritual bank account, and we look at what's the balance of our spiritual bank account, there's not enough zeros, let's say, to tell us or show us how much, because we have it all. He's blessed with all spiritual blessings. There is no running out of spiritual blessings that God has already given you in Christ. Our problem is that we don't utilize it. I've used this example before. I mean, how many? If we had a bank account, physically speaking, has all the money we could ever want, would you still be driving the car that you're driving? Would you still be living in the house that you're living in? Wear the watch that you have, you're wearing watch, the phone, whatever it is. And it's like, well, I can upgrade. Because money is no object. Something breaks down, now let's get a new one. But spiritually, we have that kind of a bank account with God. But yet, we don't utilize it. I'll give you an example. It's like, well, phone life. We all have them. We have people in our life that God has given to teach us patience. I say that, you can probably think of somebody right now in your mind. It's like, yeah, they're so-and-so. Hard for me to have patience with them. Well, wait a minute. God blesses us with all spiritual blessings. And one of the things that we have in fruit of the Spirit is what? Long-suffering. Patience. Things go all hand in hand. We have it, being in Christ, but are we utilizing it? He is able. He has already given us everything that we need. It's just a matter of if we're going to tap into it or not. I'm going to give you another reference in Ephesians, probably one of my favorites. Why don't you go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Says this, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's not able just to do above all that we ask or think. He's able to abundantly above. Not only abundantly above, he's able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it's according to the power that worketh in us. Well, what's that power that works in us? Again, what is in us? We are in Christ, but you know what? We have the Spirit of God that is in us. Because we accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, we're filled with the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God is always working.
From the first moment that you see the Spirit of God show up in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 1, and what does it say? That the Spirit of God was moving. Spirit of God's not stagnant. It's moving. Even in Ephesians, it's like if we are in the flesh, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God because He's got a job to do. He wants to move in your life. He's working. And we're supposed to, and how does the Spirit of God work? He works with the Word of God. How many of us are actually giving the Spirit of God the Word of God that He needs to be able to work and move in our life to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? The problem is not with God. He's blessed with all spiritual blessings. He's able to fulfill and meet all our need. It's just a matter of if we're going to trust Him or not. I'll give you this example. And it's one that is most recent with me in my life, in a sense. I mean, 2 years ago, my vision was to have the Lord provide for my family. Lord, I need You to provide. Moving down here, I no longer was really doing everything I was doing as far as karate is concerned. So not a lot of income in that regard coming in. It's like I at least wanted to have a part-time job to be able to help out and that sort of thing. And that was my vision for the year. My vision, God's provision. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I put out, you know, the applications and everything like that. And the thing that came back was, first person that called me was dealing with security at the casino. And my mind was like, I don't know about this. Pastor working at a casino, and it's like, I don't know. I thought long and hard about it, prayed about it. Ended up going, doing an interview, of course. Got hired. The pay wasn't that great. They didn't tell you the pay at the time. They told me after they called, oh, you got the job, you want it, and the pay is this. I'm like, really? Okay. Well, maybe something else will come up by the time. That's what my thought. Nothing else did. So finally, had some peace about it, went ahead, accepted it, did all the paperwork necessary, needed to do it, and started working in security at the casino. Wasn't too long after that. It's like, you know, a lot of what I was doing at the casino was standing at a podium, much like this, and making sure people were 21 years of age going in. That was the height of my job, standing there for 8 hours a day. Got to go from one podium to the next and do some other little things here and there, but primarily standing at a podium. I'm like, man, standing here. There's not even anybody coming in. Long story short, I started making that prayer time. I started making it time that I could review my messages in my mind. Challenge myself in remembering all the different chapters in the book of the Bible. Like this book of the Bible, Genesis has 50 chapters, and I would go through that. As people were counting, or I was counting people coming in, because you had to keep track of how many people were coming in and stuff like that, I used that as to go through review of Bible numerology. I mean, I was just doing everything. It's like exercising my mind, time to pray. People knew that I was a preacher. Had a lot of conversations with people. It became, oh, wait a minute. This is like a ministry opportunity. Wait a minute. This place is like a ministry field. And from that point on, it's like, man, this is great. There wasn't like a day that I worked or a week that went by that I wasn't talking to somebody about something because they'd come and ask me questions. 7 months later, like I said, this is a long story, but you talk about God providing. Now He's giving me a job where I'm back in law enforcement at the casino. And talk about being able to provide for family. Praise God, He's answered that. The Bible, I mean, it says that He's going to meet all our needs. I can give you example after example after example of the last 32, going on 33 years of my life being a Christian, of things that God has done and provided. Over and over again. Talk about a time that saved my life. God told me when I went into policing. Initially, when I worked for Marion Police Department. Give me a verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26. The Lord shall be thy confidence and keep thy foot from being taken.
You know, one time I can really point in my life that I know that God physically spared and saved my life? Running traffic on a highway. Drunk guy coming at me, my driver's side door, at least 60 miles an hour. And I literally said out loud, "This is it. There's no way I'm surviving this. I cannot move. I can't do anything to get out of the way in time." Next thing I know, that car swerves, does a 360 on the highway, and comes to a complete stop. I was able to put my lights on. I literally got out of my car. I went to the back of the car off camera, and I literally was just like, I knew God spared my life that night. Without a doubt, there was no earthly reason why that guy should have swerved and missed me. There's no way. God saved my life tonight. He fulfilled the need. Obviously, he had work for me still left to do. You see, folks, this thing is real. No matter what the need is, physical or spiritual, he's already blessed us with it. And all he's waiting for us to do is ask. We need to live a life that we actually really believe the Word of God and that he's going to fulfill our needs so that we can do what? So that we can have the grace and the truth of the Word of God to go out and to be able to help somebody else out. You remember last year when we talked about, you know, being able to be a comfort to people, and we went through the book of Job and we talked about how, you know, being able to counsel and help people when they're going through their struggles and their trials. Well, this is what we're talking about now. How many people are suffering? How many people are just, it's been a tough year. And maybe they're looking for us to what? Serve them. Have a vision to serve them. Have a vision for them, others. A vision to lead them, to be able to help them and say, hey, this is how the Lord has fulfilled needs in my life. And the same God that fulfilled my needs can fulfill yours. Let me show you how to do that. Let me sacrifice a little bit of my time, a little bit of my life, to show you how you can have a better relationship with God. We stop to think about some of the things and the reasons why we go through what we go through. It's an opportunity for us to help somebody else out. See, that's what we're talking about here. You go back to Philippians chapter 4 to finish up. In verse 19, next week, Lord willing, we'll finish this up. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Next week, we're going to talk a lot about God's glory and the desire that he has for us. We're going to grow in Christ. It's for the purpose of to be able to be glorified with Christ. And that's what we're going to see this next week. And again, finishing off and dealing with God's grace. But there's one thing I want you to get a hold of today. Again, it's not been a difficult message, I think, to understand and grasp. There is not a need that God can't fulfill in your life. And he wants to do that for a reason, not just for yourself, but to be able to seek the wealth of somebody else, to be able to help them grow in a relationship, to be able to not just be focused on ourselves, but to be focused on others. And if there's ever a time we need to understand that, it is now. I don't know how much longer we have left. I don't know when the Lord's going to come back, like I said, but I don't think it's that long from now. And as this world gets darker and more selfish, we have got to be the light. We have got to lead by example. We have got to show, hey, there's a God that does care for you, that he is real. His word does work. But if we don't believe it, there's no way anybody else is going to believe it when they see us. We have got to literally, as this church, Faith Bible Church, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We have got to believe this book, to apply it to our life, and see God fulfill the needs so that we can help others. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day, Lord. And I, simple three verses in a sense, not hard to understand, but I think it's hard for us sometimes to actually live it. God, you save us by grace. We need to live by grace. Lord, and I don't, by any stretch of the imagination, think that I did this passage, this message, justice at all. But I pray that your Spirit, Lord, will work it into everyone's hearts that will hear it. I can talk all day long about what you've done for me, and I am happy to do it, and I thank you for it. But until each and every individual decide, you know what, I am going to trust God at His Word, they're not going to know that. They're not going to see the incredible ways that you have already blessed us spiritually. They're not going to see how you are able to meet all of our need. And what a tragedy that is. What's our alternative? How often do we struggle and we get upset because we're trying to meet our own needs, or we're trying to just trust in ourselves and our flesh to do it, as opposed to just trusting in your direction? And it may not seem right at first. It may not seem like this is going to be anything, but Lord, I tell you, you have a way not only to fulfill our needs, so to be able to help others out in a process. Lord, I thank you for the things that you've done in my life. I thank you for the things that you have fulfilled in my life, the needs that you have supplied. I thank you so much for it, and look forward to how you're going to continue to do that as long as I'm on this planet. But Lord, I pray that you help me to be able to help others to understand that truth, to help them to be able to grow. My life is nothing if I can't help somebody grow in their walk and relationship with the Lord. And I pray the same thing for our church, that we as Faith Bible Church, that we would see that, man, you know what? There are people all around me that need this truth, that need to understand a God that will fulfill their needs, and help us to be that example. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.